tonight, and I'm glad that I'm serving a big God. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I never heard of such nonsense in all my life. I've been teaching our church about different cults and things that's going on. Some of that stuff that doesn't even make a bit of sense. And even just an average child would know better. Men and women are flocking after it and rejecting God's divine word. Hallelujah. But I'm glad that I got saved. I'm glad that the divine word of God richly blesses me every day. Hallelujah. If you turn to the book of Nehemiah, I really thought when Brother Bobby called me, boy, isn't it good to have an addition to the church? Nine to 10 pounds, let's have them everywhere. Hallelujah. Church will grow. If the Lord tarries, it's coming. Whenever I think about revival, the only thing that I can ever really get on my mind and in my heart is in the book of Nehemiah. So if you turn there, I'll try to read, won't be too awful long. My wife said the other night that I preached 52 minutes, so I don't know. I get up and talk for 10 and preach for a half hour. So if you turn to the book of Nehemiah,
go ahead, preacher.
The Bible says this in verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. I pray that we get together. Enter the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law, a book of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning unto midnight. So I probably won't be that long. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of God. May the Lord richly bless you. Father, as we approach thy throne of grace, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd anoint these lips of clay. Father, that you'd anoint the ears to hear, O God, in thy words, O Lord, be the words that I speak. And we'd ask all things in that precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. When we looked into the book of Nehemiah, and I'm not really one to get out and walk around. So when we read about Nehemiah, we need a little bit of history and understand that the walls of Jerusalem was destroyed. Israel was in bondage, and God brought him out of bondage after 70 years. And I feel like tonight there needs to be a rejoicing in our soul, for you and I once were still lost. We was bound in the wickedness of sin, and Ezra desired to have the word of God read. I'm glad tonight, without any kind of understanding or asking you to stand, that you stood for the reading of the word of God. But when we read in the book of Nehemiah, we have to understand that all the people, all of them that could hear, all of them that had understanding, paid great heed to the word of God. Do you understand tonight that they were in bondage and there was 70 years without a word of God ever spoken to them? Never a prophet, never a priest opened up the sacred scriptures to them. And there was old men that began to cry when the word went out. There was young men that shouted and they rejoiced simply because the old timers were telling how great God was, the deliverance that they brought to them, how God God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you and I are going to have a move of God in our life, we're going to have to get back to the book. Oh, hallelujah. This book has tried to be destroyed. They mimic and they mock the Word of God, have all kinds of renditions. But I say the old-time gospel, the King James Bible, is still the only one that's inherent without any error. I believe the Word of God, my friend, gives you and I life and our soul, and His Bible is good for deliverance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Martin Luther said something that made me so just swell up inside my soul. He said, the Bible speaks to me, and it has feet, and it runs after me. It has hands, and it lays hold on me. Oh, Woodrow Wilson said, I feel so sorry for men and women that deprives himself from the reading of the Word of God to draw strength from and to grow by. Our Bible, my friend, should never, ever be neglected. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Cash Amberge, 50 years ago, well, almost 50 years ago, when me and my wife got married, 44 to be exact, we bought some furniture, and Cash Amberge brought out the Bible. He said, you lay this on your Bible, on your end table, on your coffee table, but you keep it in the center of your home. I thought that was good, but I was lost. And I don't know where it went off to. It was probably shoved somewhere back in a closet. It wasn't used as its purpose was set forth. Do you realize tonight there's many a Christian that's missing out on one of the greatest blessings they have? That Bible is an ornament, but it's more than just an ornament to me. I said it is life. I said it's life. And when I begin to read, it brings life to my soul. It encourages me when I'm down. It strengthens me when I get weak. And if we're going to have revival at 5 Mile, we're going to have to say one to another, hallelujah, bring back God's book and let it be inside of our soul. Do you agree tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Not only do we have to read the Bible, but we got to make it a guide for our life. It's not just some kind of motivational book to read, not just something to stir your life up, but my friend, it's more than that. It's more than any motivation can ever deal with. When the Spirit of God begins to open up and reveal to you, thus saith the Word of God, that, my friend, you can walk on water, but hallelujah, I said it's parted water. Men and women's walked, or men's walked on water. I said the Bible, my friend, is more than just something to lay around, just something more than stick it under your arm and carry it to the house of God. That Bible is for us to be devoured, to be inside of our soul. The psalmist said that he wanted it so much in his life that he was going to hide it inside of his soul, that he wouldn't offend God or sinned against God. You understand what he was saying? He didn't want to hurt or defend anything against God. He didn't want to trample the blood under his feet. He wanted the Word to be alive, to strengthen, to win the lost. My friend, you can have anything in your life, but it'll never change nobody's life like the Bible. I said we need to get back to what's black and white. We need to bring back the Bible. If you have not read it, you need to read it. If you haven't studied it, Brother Carter, you need to study it to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. I read about D.L. Moody. I don't know if you know about him or not, but he had a great seminar. Men and women would come from all over the country just to be in his seminar. He was so amazed that these churches were sending young men into the ministry, and they couldn't even hardly tell you how many books there was in the Bible. couldn't even say how many commandments of God there really were, let alone repeat them. They couldn't understand how many of the apostles there were. And he said, it's beyond me how churches can live when men and women are being trained in a ministry and they know nothing more than the Word of God than just to carry it. I said, my friend, we need to devour it in our soul, for it is life-giving. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. One little fellow said to Daddy, he said, Daddy, is that God's book? He said, son, certainly is. He said, Dad, you know what we ought to do with that book? He said, we ought to return it to God because we don't use it. Better get back to the book. We better bring that Bible and let it be alive in our soul. Can you say amen? One writer began to expel some things, and he said, you know, the Bible said to us that the words were so sweet, sweeter than honey. When we get to the point where we can have God's Word in our heart rather than just to have physical food, then that's when we can be blessed of the Lord. Do you believe that tonight? Hallelujah, the Bible needs to be read. No need to go through and tell you how powerful God is. The Bible is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And if you and I would pursue after that with so great intensity as we do other things. Let me tell you something. Last year, everybody knows I'm a hunter. Last year, not this past one, the year before, and I purposely set a whole month of October. And Brother Roger, that's some of the best hunting that there is. And it was strictly for one reason, that I could have more of this. And the more of this that I had, the more strength that I began to receive from God, and the more power that God gave to me, and He gave me more desire for the Word of God. And if I am ever going to grow, if you're ever going to grow, if you're ever going to be a prophet to the things of God, we must get back to the book. I say, my friend, bring me the book. Feed my soul. Turn my life upside down. Plow the fallow ground, if you please. Let me be alive, and let thy word be alive and a teacher to me. Hallelujah. Do you love the Word of God tonight? I say, do you really love the Word of God? The psalmist in Psalms 19, have you ever read it? It means so much to me. When I first got saved, I read the book of John. Then everybody said, go read Psalms. So I opened up the book. I found the center of the book. Do you know what the center of the book is? You need to find out. It's in Psalms 119. It's not too far down the line. But I started reading that, and I wrote in my other Bible. I had so many things underlined, so much inside of it, I literally wore out my first Bible. And I began to understand that the psalmist said that Psalms 119 would lead me into all truth, for it was divinely inspired. And that Psalms 119 was an alphabet of love dedicated to God. I said that Bible means much to me, for it is love, and it's a paradise to my soul. Not only is it a paradise, it's divinely inspired, and it'll bring paradise to your spirit. It's a storehouse to the Holy Ghost, and beyond all things, it's a store of truth. Do you want truth tonight? I understand the Bible said there's going to be a great falling away. I really feel like that falling away is from the truth of the Bible. If you and I are ever going to be cleansed, if you and I are ever going to profit the kingdom of God, we are going to have to bring back the book. Isn't it a shame when the house of Israel in our heart, hallelujah, to bring back that book, to stir up our living soul. I need my heart cleansed. I said it's a beast and it's alive forevermore. But in God's book, there is a cleansing. In God's book, the storehouse of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, will purify my soul. If we're going to come alive, if we're going to have revival, then I say we're going to have to get back to the book. Can you say amen tonight? I was one time, and I don't really like to say this, but Brother Daniel McCann was preaching. I was up half the night. I was at, you know, just wore out. And he began to open up the Bible, began to read. The next thing I know, my wife come up and she kicked me in the foot. I was straight behind Brother Daniel, and I'd fallen asleep. That it will keep you alive and awake. I said I had to apologize to Daniel McCann. But you know who I should apologize to? I should apologize to the God that rules this universe. I should apologize to Jesus Christ that I fell asleep when a man was anointed out of heaven to declare his God's divine word. Hallelujah. I said, I don't want to yawn. I don't want to fall asleep. I said, I want to be alive. I want the Word of God pricks my soul. And the only way, my friend, that it'll ever do so, I've got to be in the book. I said, I've got to be in the book. And I'm going to have revival. And I want revival. Danville needs revival. 5 Mile needs revival. Then I say, with all the goodness of the Holy Ghost, bring back the book. Hallelujah. I need the book. I said, I need the book. I said, I need the book. We're begotten by the Word of God. I live, absolutely live, to hear music. Every room in my house has got music that I can turn on. Out in the garage, I got good old gospel music that I can listen to. But greater than all those, I said, I've got to have the book inside of my heart. So I go out, and I get Alexander Scorby, and I get it on CD. And when I get upset and feel like I can't strike the very throne room of grace, I plug in, that's right, the book. I get a hold of the book, and all of a sudden, the book gets a hold of me, and it changes my attitude. Do you understand what the book does? It gives you direction. It may not be for the one, but it's for you. You're the one that opened the book. It's your eyes that glanced on its blessed pages, for it is to get something out of you, and that is perfection to the gospel and homage to the blood of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a praise here tonight. They lifted up the book. Some mourned, some wept, some rejoiced. But in the reading, Nehemiah got down to verse chapter 8 and verse 10. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where did they get it? They got it from Ezra, the priest, proclaiming of the word of God, because it straightened out their world. It gave them strength. I feel like, friend, it'll do the same for you and I. When everything's upside down in your life, get a hold of the book and hold it directly in front of your face. I said, this book is truth, and it's live, and you can stand on it and base your life on it. Can you say that?
Amen.
My wife's aunt, you know, she was going through some things, and I walked right back to her. I felt like God nothing because of this book. Do you want revival? I said, do you want revival? Hallelujah. Then we got to get back to the book. I said, we got to get back to the book. We got to get back to what's black and white. Hallelujah. You want the Holy Ghost? Then you're going to have to bring the book. You want delivered? You got to bring the book. Hallelujah. Get it out of the closet. Get it off the corner post. I said, get it in your heart. We need the book. Amen. I said, we need it. I said, we need the book. No other greater understanding will I ever have than found in the book. God wrote the book. Do you believe it? Then if it's His, I say, bring back the book. I say, this Bible is alive to my soul. I need to bring back the book. If it's if the Bible is immutable, and I believe that it is inherent. So I need to bring back the book. I said the book is one story of a great God. I say, bring back the book. The God is righteous, and His book is righteous, and it will teach you how to live holy and unspotted from this world. I said the book reveals the heart and the mind of God. I say, give me the book. Hallelujah. Reveal to me your will for my life. Let me hear the heartbeat. If you want to hear the heartbeat, we're going to have to bring back the Word of God. I said we're going to have it, eat it, devour it into your soul. Hallelujah. I say the Word of God is true. Can you say amen?
Amen.
They say, the world says that everybody is basically good. But the Bible said, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are those that teach there is no hell and we don't have to be concerned. But God's Bible says, fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. There are those that said there's only a few going into heaven, and there's real no place for everyone that's been born or have died. But God says, I'm going to go away to prepare you. Hallelujah. I said, I believe that there's many mansions on the other side, for I believe God. Everybody likes to say there's no life after death, but the Bible says, once you have died, then there is the judgment. Hallelujah. Be warned. Hallelujah. Study it to show yourself approved. I said we need to get back to the book. Do you know that we are destined to die? Do you know that? Do you really know that?
Come on.
The Bible says that every man, boy or girl, will stand before Him. Why don't we base our life on this book? For this book, we either put you in the doors of heaven or close them shut to you. I said, I need the book. I said, I need the book. How about you, friend? I told you I wouldn't be too long. I said, inside of God's book is a hidden treasure. That's why I said, bring back the book. I said, you and I are travelers. We're just sojourners through this world, and we need a road map. We need one that's straight, where there is no crooks and where there's no bends. I say, I need the book. In the conclusion of it all, I have and will continually be challenged by this book, for I need divine help. I need deliverance. I need help to get through this world. Not only does it challenge me, it directs me, it helps me, it heals me. So I say, I need the book. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, He showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of that street thereof, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were there for the healings of the nation. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb, hallelujah, will be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, no need of a candle, neither a light of the sun. For God himself shall give the light, and they shall rule and reign with him forever. My question is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? The book will be open, which is the book of life.
Yes.
And the books.
66 books.
And they will be open to judge every man and every one according to their works. I say, bring back the book. Let's stand all over the building tonight. I told Brother Bobby, I said, I don't have the strength nor the energy that you have. I don't have the strength that your evangelist has. But I got a love for God. That can match either one. I told Brother Carpenter, I was going somewhere today, and the Holy Ghost just paid me, just dropped in the car, and he just settled in, and nothing, no problem, nothing going on. Just the Holy Ghost settled. Do you know how he ministered to me? Right here. He began to speak this, and I cried. It was overabundant. My face was so red, and I didn't know how to prepare. I said, if the teller asked me what was wrong with me, the only thing I could ever say to them, you will never understand. You get a hold of the God that created this heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Let's come tonight. Let's get back to where the river of life is flowing in your soul. Where the only thing that you want is the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of distractions in this world. Some that I wouldn't even have in my home. My eyes are polluted. My ears are polluted. It seems like my whole body is polluted from the environment of this world. But I found one place for cleansing. That's in this book. I can find the book. And when I can read what God's cleansed, oh Lord, have you been cleansed? Have you been cleansed? Have you been cleansed? Can you stand against the wiles of the devil? I know that we got the whole arm.